want to share with you the impact that Christ can have on your life. Truly, it is a great impact. You know, the hub of Christianity, the core of it, is really not the church. It's the home. Now, the church is the engine. The church is where we get our strength, our relational development, our fellowship, the Word of God, the truth. But it's the home that is the laboratory. But how is the home supposed to fit in and flourish with everything else that we have to do in this crazy world just to survive? How do we balance home life with running the kids here? And work. Man, I'll tell you, so many of our families, you got so many balls up in the air, you don't know which one to go for next. Now, what if I told you, really, that God has given us a manual? And that manual, along with the wisdom that the Holy Spirit provides, will revolutionize your marriage, your home, your work. It will. Now, I want to remind you, this book isn't written in code. However, it does have a veil over it. So if you're not a believer and the Spirit of Christ doesn't reside in you, you're going to read this and say, what's the big deal about that? You're not going to get it. The Bible says that they're spiritually discerned. So my prayer for you, for all of us today, is that the Spirit of God will open our eyes and bless us with ears that hear. There's an impact that Christ will have on the entire sphere of your life, but the first thing is necessary to remind ourselves. It's when you let Christ be Lord in your life. Chapter 3 and verse 15 said, let the peace of Christ rule in your lives. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Yes, let Christ be Lord of your life. And whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, when we do or say something in the name of the Lord, it means that we're acting or speaking as if Jesus were right here, right beside of us. And His presence is and power is there, and we're representing Him, and He's on the scene in our minds and our hearts. Now, if what we're doing and saying can't stand the test of His presence and approval without us being ashamed, then obviously it's not appropriate, is it? Verse 17 says, whatever you do, whether in deed or word, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, so much of whatever we do or say takes place in the sphere of home and work, right? So let's take a look at this. Number one, I want to share with you powerful keys that will make your marriage work. They really will. Now, you don't have to believe what I say, but the question is whether you trust the one who gave us the manual. We're going to talk about positive counsel that will bless your family. We're going to talk about potential solutions that will grow your business as well. All from here. First of all, the powerful keys that will make your marriage work. You see, how do we act as husbands and wives when we're doing and saying what we do in the name of the Lord Jesus? And with His help, with the Lord's help, you have huge potential to reshape your home, to renew your marriage in a way that will honor God. You know what the major social problem in our society is? You think about it. It's true. The major social problem in our human society is the inability of people to get along with each other. That's it. It's in your home. It's where you work. It's between nations. We can't get along with each other. So what in the world makes a marriage work? I mean, Christianity is not just personal. It's not just you and God. It's not a Lone Ranger type thing. Christianity is relational. It impacts others in a huge way. And your new life, and I remind you, chapter 3. You have been raised with Christ. But I want you to look at 3:3. Chapter 3, verse 3. Because this is an absolute key before we move on. It says in verse 3 that you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Interesting. You know what Jesus said to those that were following him? This is, of course, before the cross, before the resurrection. He said this. He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his what? Cross and follow me. And then he said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. So you got to pick up your cross. To have a huge impact as a Christian, you got to pick up your cross. Now, what's a cross symbolize? Symbolize that you're going to die. And that's exactly what Colossians 3:3 says. You've died with Christ. And here Christ now is living his life in me. And that has to impact the relationships all around me. When I'm dead to myself, following Jesus, Christ living in me. Now we're ready. Powerful keys to make your marriage work. One, the arrangement that the Lord designed for wives. I like that website. It's called I Am Second. And it's really something that as we watch the principles of authority and submission through this passage of Scripture that every one of us need to realize. Men, women, boss, employee, children, parents, I'm second. Wives as well. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. You know, everywhere the gospel goes, ladies, let me tell you the truth, it radically changes and lifts the position of women. Everywhere. It gives new freedom and stature that some in this day and age, like some in our day and age, are not handling real well. So Paul and Peter both, in their letters, admonish Christian women and they admonish Christian men. Take your Bibles and turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to see this short passage of Scripture that begins in verse 18 with a command. That we're not to be drunk with wine, that's debauchery, that's the old life. But we're to be filled under the control of the Holy Spirit. We're to learn how to walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And as a result of that, there will be joy that will come out in our singing and there will be just a different attitude in our relationships. Verse 21 of chapter 5 of Ephesians says that we will submit to one another. That's reciprocal out of reverence for Christ. And that's where the command is. In Ephesians 5. And then in the next verse, he speaks about wives, how you're going to play this out. Well, it's in regard to your husbands. And then he speaks to men, how you're going to play this out. Well, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. When I get two young people in front of me that are going to get married, I can't hold back, you know, as woman looks so beautiful in this sparkling white gown she's probably never going to wear again in her life. And I let her know that she's playing the part of a drama. She's representing the born-again believers of Christ's true church whose sins are washed away and they're dressed in the righteousness of Christ. Amen, church? But I like to turn to the young man as the groom and I said, you know, while it's the bride's day, you're very important. Your role, you know what your role is in this drama. You're standing in for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. I said, by the way, you do know what Saviors do for a living, don't you? He looks at me like a deer caught in the headlights. And I said, they die for the ones they love. Yeah. Okay, back to Colossians 3. Now we're ready. The arrangement that the Lord designed for wives, submit. Interesting, it's a military word. Hupotasso, it means under to arrange. And it's you do this. You arrange yourself under. It has to do with ranking yourself. It's not a question of whether a private in the Army and a second lieutenant is better. Both are needed. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis, as well as in the New Testament, that men and women are equal in value and dignity and worth. They simply have different ranks, different roles, different responsibilities, not better, different responsibilities to God. And I want you to notice something, that there are some important boundaries here. But this word submit, it's necessary in all of our relationships to know when we need to rank ourselves under. And I want you to notice this little verse, ladies. Three boundaries. Let's see what it says. Watch it carefully. Wives, submit to your pastor. Is that what it says? Well, it doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. Let's see. It's submit to what? Your what? Husbands. How many husbands do you have? Answer, please. One. Oh, and guess who got to choose him? You did. Yeah. See, Paul is not teaching that all women must submit to any man or all men. Please get this straight. But that a wife should rank herself under and submit to her own husband. It's a unique, exclusive, personal relationship where, watch this, a wife develops a disposition to yield. And I think it has to be developed spiritually. Where a wife develops an inclination to follow her husband's leadership, and she learns how to use her strengths and her feminine ways and wisdom and gifts to nurture and encourage her man. Now, what if we could get this brokenness out of us and get it healed? You know, back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve did not wake up thinking supremely about how to take care of me, my, and myself. But that's our default, as broken people. And when you come to Christ, what Christ does is he changes that, and he calls you to die to that me, my, myself, that self-centeredness. And we must become other-centered. Other-centered. The problem is we default all the time back to brokenness. Get up in the morning after a night's sleep, bang, the eyes come open and the eyes go right here. Me, my, myself. And I got to get myself back where I need to be. Recognize that David has died to Christ and Christ lives in me. And so I'm going to be other-centered, not self-centered. This is huge. This is the key. Submit to your husband. Develop a disposition to lead, an inclination to follow. And by the way, this is good reason why, ladies, you should never marry a non-believer. Look at it. Right? Amen? Gals, let me hear it. Amen? Second boundary here is submit to your husbands. And it says, as is fitting. You know, there are types of submission which are not fitting. Not proper, not godly, not healthy. Wives are not required to submit in those ways. By the way, there's a third issue here, and that's in the Lord. In the Lord, with his power, with his presence, relating to your husband as God designed, as part of a wife's ministry and service to the Lord Jesus himself. As you draw upon his presence, you know what? He enables you in a sweet way to rank yourself under, to have that disposition to yield in a way that honors God, shows respect to your husband. You know, we submit ourselves in many relationships in our world. And it doesn't lessen our value, does it? It doesn't demean our personhood. It actually makes the relationship work. So that's a word to the ladies who die to themselves and allow Christ to be Lord of their lives. A huge impact that a godly woman can make. You know, a lot of times we get confused about this masculinity, femininity thing. And I want to suggest to you that you can stop looking at yourself and worrying about being a woman or being a man. But if you will work on what God tells you to do, to be other-centered. How can I meet his needs? How can I meet her needs? You will become one feminine woman. You will become one masculine man. I want to tell you, it's really interesting how that works. Come with me to the second aspect of these powerful keys that will make your marriage work. Number two is the affection that Jesus now directs for husbands. And of course, I am second, men, and that's critical for us. It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Look at that, ladies. Does that sound like male domination to you? Huh? Ladies, could I hear from you? No, it doesn't. Let's read it again. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Men, let's you and I read this. Here we go. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. You know, sometimes men only want to read the previous verse to their wives. Let me tell you a secret. Guys, it's not your job to make your wife submit. Period. Now, you say, well, Pastor David, what if my wife doesn't submit? What do? You kick it up a notch. You take it to the Lord. And you do your job, which you're going to have to get past yourself. You see, well, she doesn't submit to me. Who's the key? Me. You get past that. You love your wife. A husband is to be the head of a home, but in no way is headship chauvinism. It's not dictatorship. It is loving leadership. In fact, this is two parts of the same puzzle. And it only works really well when husband and wife are submitted first to the Lord and then to each other. And there's a positive and a negative here. First of all, the positive, love your wives. Not love your neighbor here, it's love your wife. Not love the lady at work, it's love your wife. Agapao, it is that word that means to cherish. It's a warmth that really shows interest in that woman, your wife. It's a love that takes pleasure to the point of sacrifice for this woman. We came in this morning early and Ruthie's walking in and was talking to some people. Yeah, she said, you ought to hear my husband's message. Man, he was preaching and I wanted to stand up and say, right on, preach it, David. It's for all of us, isn't it? I do love her. You know, it doesn't work well when we expect our wives to follow us but do not have unselfish love for her. When we do not have her best interests at heart. For a Christian marriage to thrive, husbands, we got to grow up. We've got to get past ourselves. That's the key. And we need to love our wives as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for her. There's a negative here. And always the negatives are good for us. Do not be harsh with them. The word harsh is the word picreno. Picreno, from which we get the word picric acid. It's a very bitter, corrosive acid. Isn't that interesting? And so when you're harsh with them, what do? You begin to pile up bitterness, maybe because of something she did. Maybe because of something she didn't do. For you. Do you want to poison your home, men? No. Well, a root of bitterness inside of you will do that. And besides that, it will give Satan a foothold in your life. Don't do it, says Paul. You love your wife. Well, love is patient, isn't it? That means it waits. Love is not easily angered. It doesn't get ticked off. And love doesn't keep a scorecard and remember, record of offenses. Let it all go. That's not love. You are to love your wife. Wow. Men were instructed in a positive and a negative way. I was thinking about a growth group, and if we could get some guys and gals together, I would like to discuss with the men in the hearing of the ladies. Guys, what is it that causes us to be harsh with our wives? What causes you when you're harsh with your wife? What happens? And just to be able to discuss that, I can think of several things that come to my mind. But Paul says, do love your wife unselfishly. Do not speak or act with bitterness. You know, Paul seems to really hit the hot buttons here, doesn't he? You know, when God hits those buttons in us, we sometimes get a little hot too. So it's okay. But there are two keys that will make your marriage work. The real issue is, am I going to trust God, the one who designed it? Am I going to try it and do it His way? You got two principles. You got sacrificial love on the husband's part. You got spiritual submission on the wife's part. And a wife usually has little difficulty submitting to a husband who really loves her. Because she'll know that he wants the best for her. She'll know that he won't do anything to harm her. And the husband's love for his wife is seen in his sacrifice. And the wife's love for her husband is seen in her submission to him. Well, where do we get the power to do this? This is contrary to our... It is. We'll get it from the Lord. And if we live it, if we live to please Christ first, we will build strong marriages. These are powerful truths. These are at the root core issues of getting past ourselves and being other-centered, which helps us be men who are men and women who are women. But there's a second issue here, and this is positive counsel that will improve your family, beginning in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You know what? What an amazing blessing when children are born into a Christian family where there is love and submission in Christ. Wow. Really? Now take a look at this. Here's the counsel. When there is respect from children, that obedience proves. See, obedience proves that you're honoring and respecting your parents.